Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Dan Shaun writes critically acclaimed short stories. His compilation Among the Missing was nominated for a National Book Award. He's now out with a new collection, Stay Awake. NPR calls it darkly beautiful. The New York Times made it an editor's pick, said it's a superbly disquieting demonstration of an uneasy power. Uneasy, dark, you can also add unsettling, bleak, because Dan Shaun's characters are people living in nightmares. A young man comes home from his humdrum job at the supermarket to find his parents have committed suicide. Another young man is recovering memories of his mother. She killed two of his younger siblings when he was a child. Then there's Gene, a recovering alcoholic who's fighting off memories of how horribly he treated his first wife and son, while trying to figure out why his son with his second wife, Karen, wakes up with blood-curdling screams.
In the mornings after the nightmares, as Karen calls them, Gene feels unnerved, edgy. He works as a driver for the United Parcel Service, and as he moves through the day after a screaming attack, there's a barely perceptible hum at the edge of his hearing, an intent, deliberate static sliding along behind him as he wanders through the streets and streets in his van. He stops along the side of the road and listens. The shadows of summer leaves tremble murmurously against the windshield, and cars are accelerating on a nearby road. In the treetops, a cicada makes its trembly pressure cooker hiss. Something bad has been looking for him for a long time, he thinks. And now, at last, it is growing near.
Something is growing near, indeed. Dan Shaun, reading from his new collection of short stories, Stay Awake, and he joins us in the studio with more. Welcome.
Thank you.
And the first thing I have to say is, what have you done with Dan Shaun? Because you are entirely too chipper a person to have written.
I know, I'm supposed to be the bleak guy.
Yeah.
I should have come in black and, you know, with probably cockroaches that I was eating or something.
I'm going to mention cockroaches later,
oddly enough. Sorry to steal your thunder.
Well, but, you know, we've chatted, and I really am struck with how cheerful you are, given the reading. What drew you to these stories?
Well, I think that I've always had a real interest in the macabre, and I don't think that necessarily precludes having a fairly cheerful daily life. Even as a kid, I was really interested in ghost stories and tales of the weird, stories to read in the dark,
right,
and so on and so forth.
But the difference is, Dan, you know, those monsters were monsters that in your mind you really could know did not exist.
Mm-hmm.
But these are real people, real situations, real fires that kill real children right in front of their parents' eyes. Another set of parents who have a child born with a second head.
Mm-hmm.
They have to, you know, consider having it removed, and they're in the media spotlight.
Yeah. Well, Robin, have you watched TV lately?
Well, isn't this funny? Because I have to say, when I was reading, sometimes I'd put the book down and say, I can't do this, and I'd flip on the television, and then there would be the story of Josh Powell, who blows up his house and kills his two little boys.
Right. And actually, I think the two-headed baby was something I might have seen on Oprah or another talk show. So, I mean, it's not like I'm just inventing this stuff. It's out there. And I find it strangely compelling. I think that there's something about it that tells me about the society that I live in, that tells me something that's really interesting about what's going on in contemporary America that I want to explore in my own work.
I guess that's the point I was making, that these aren't monsters that we could tell ourselves don't exist. You know, like,
right,
these are real. You mentioned cockroaches. You know, it's another time I put down the book and turn on the TV, and there was the story of the L.A. teacher accused of putting cockroaches on children's faces.
Gosh, I didn't see that one. You'll have to send me the link.
Well, it's just horrible. And so, obviously, there is inspiration in real life, but
mm-hmm.
Okay, so then my other question still stands. You know, why live with these topics? Because they're so disturbing. And you're learning what through them about modern life?
Well, I think what I'm interested in is the way in which people cope with grief, with loss, and with this kind of psychological state that I think people in extreme situations find themselves, which is somewhere in between real life and a kind of dream world or a kind of extra reality. I'm also really interested in trying to understand why people react and behave in the way they do. I mean, I think it's easy to dismiss somebody like Andrea Yates as a monster. She was the woman who drowned, I think, five of her children in Texas. But I think it's also, we do so at our peril, right? Because I think it's something that exists in our world and that isn't going away. So why is it the way it is? That's my question.
Well, also, you seem to want to learn more about the people, even, you know, through your writing, who are on the concentric circles around an Andrea Yates. I mean, what's it like to be the child of parents who commit double suicide and leave you a note?
Right.
You know, like as if they had gone bowling.
Right. I'm interested in people who, for one reason or another, fall under the radar of the kind of people that you see on TV or in movies or, for that matter, find in books. I'm interested in the guy that's the grocery clerk who's dealing with his own stuff, or the UPS guy, or the kid who is not top of his class and does, and, you know, sits quietly in his chair and thinks. I'm interested in those people, too, and what's going on behind their kind of quiet facade.
Yeah, we have recently had a series on meth addicts, and you write about a young man who tries to rescue a child from an ex-girlfriend who's a meth addict. Again, we're going out to the concentric circles. I don't want to give away endings here, but it's not neat.
No. Yeah. No, it's not.
Yeah.
I think things rarely are. There's a desire to have a conclusion and say, well, we're finished with that. We've solved the meth problem. Now on to the next one. But I don't think it happens that way very often.
Right. What happens for you when you're working on these stories? You can feel muscles twitching. You can feel your stomach pulling when you're reading them. You know, so congratulations
that
level.
Thank you.
But what's it like for you?
Well, you know, I think there's a lot in writing that's similar to acting. And, you know, I think like a lot of actors, I'm drawn to things that are going to take me places emotionally. I mean, Meryl Streep wants to emote like crazy and do accents and, you know, at least cry once in every movie. And so do I, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean,
In every story?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in exploring some of those corners that maybe, I mean, you know, like I'm not living them. I mean, that's not to say that I haven't experienced loss in my own life.
Sure.
But I think that what I'm not interested in writing autobiographical material. I think I'm interested in finding what's autobiographical about a fictional world, and vice versa.
And it sounds as if, again, you're trying to, you know, look to feel and explore lives that we may not know that much about, but you pull yourself back.
I think I do pull myself. I don't feel depressed having written these stories. I feel kind of exhilarated. And I do think there's some humor in them. I think there's other stuff besides just, you know, a walk through the graveyard.
Yeah. So there's a lot of cosmic jokes, too, which, again, we don't want to give away story endings, but somebody heads off in one direction, and then, like the Mad Magazine cartoon, they step on the plank, and the plank hits them in the head, and, you know,
right,
all good intentions go by the wayside. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
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 Who are you laughing at or with?
Well, I think I'm laughing with all the other people who have experienced that kind of cosmic joke, and I think I guess that's maybe all of us. And so I'm not necessarily laughing at the characters. I think the characters probably would laugh to themselves, too, to some extent. Well, at least some of them would.
Yeah. Dan Shaun, his latest collection of short stories is Stay Awake. It's getting glowing reviews. Congratulations, and thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you, Robin.